Good evening, everyone. Welcome to worship. My name is Scott Kirshner. I am the village pastor here at Holden. And we're going to be using the red hymnals. And you can also grab a half sheet that has the order of service on it. Those are both found by the entryway there where the candle is burning. And one correction to be made on the gathering song. That should read song number 858. 858, praise the Lord the Almighty. That's 858. This is a communion service, and a few words about that. The first and most important is that all are welcome to receive the sacrament. And we commune by procession forward. There will be two lines in front of the communion table, and you'll receive the bread, and then the first chalice will have wine for drinking. If you would prefer to drink from an individual cup, you may take one of those, and the first pitcher will have wine, and the second will have grape juice. If you have gluten allergies, please indicate that to the person who is distributing the bread, and we will make a gluten-free host available to you. And if you do not wish to receive communion, you are still welcome to come forward to receive a blessing and simply cross your arms in front of your chest to so indicate when you come forward. And also, if you would like to read a little bit more about our theology of Holy Communion, Luther's Small Catechism is conveniently located in the back of your hymnal. On page 1166, you'll find some of Luther's teaching on Holy Communion. There will be an opportunity to give an offering during our service, and 100% of the offerings are being given to famine relief in the Horn of Africa and through Lutheran World Relief. I ask you to please stand and face the baptismal font. The order of confession and forgiveness is found on page 94 in the front of your hymnal. Blessed be the Holy Trinity. One God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may
mercy loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit. that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Hymn 858.
A reading from Genesis. The man and the woman heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And the Lord God said, "Who told you that thou were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly shalt you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. It will strike your head, and you will strike its heel. The word of the Lord.
Our psalm is 130. You can find it at the beginning of your red hymnal, just after the lection or the liturgy. I invite you to sing in response the even verses.
A reading from 2 Corinthians. Just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to Mark, the third chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again so that Jesus and the disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." And Jesus called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan is risen up against Satan and is divided, Satan cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed, the house can be plundered. Truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.' Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, 'Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside, asking for you.' And Jesus replied, 'Who are my mother and my brothers?' And looking at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Please pray with me. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and minds be acceptable unto you this night, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Here we are, work camp volunteers, mine remediation workers, a Holden Village staff that is always in flux but is growing by the day, village guests arriving at Holden for the first time, and many others for whom this place is deeply familiar. Deeply familiar, perhaps, except for that orange fencing, and maybe the heavy machinery, and a mine cleanup project, which is getting underway. This summer's theme is "Where the River Flows, Life Abounds." Rivers are powerful metaphors in many ways. And I was sitting up by the creek the other day here behind Koinonia watching the water splash and swirl and spill its way by, and I thought about how a flowing river is a pretty complicated little thing in its own way. The water in the middle moves very fast. But some of the water is frothy and white as it spills over and around rocks. Some swirls back upstream in little eddies. And some slows down in deeper pockets of calm pools formed by fallen trees or boulders. The water, in fact, at any one moment, is going in all different kinds of directions and at different speeds, all at the same time. And yet, it is still one thing. It is Railroad Creek, and it's flowing to the Pacific Ocean. And so here we are, work camp, mine remediation, staff, guests, long-term, short-term, some recently arrived and some soon to depart. Villagers, all of us. We are going in many different directions and speeds and find ourselves in many different currents, but are finally one quirky little mountain village, every day different, but gathering for worship with the regularity of a beating heart. Jesus is always going into the mountains. If you spent any time reading the Gospels, you know this. And he likely goes there for the same reasons we do, for rest, for prayer and reflection, for the solace of wild places, and just to get away. And then, like every one of us at Holden, sooner or later, after his time on the mountain, Jesus went home. And this was no sweet homecoming. Homes are, as we all know, complicated places. Families are complicated, often beyond our understanding of them. And so it was for Jesus, it seems. Home was a complicated place, and it was not, to put it mildly, a place of rest. His family did not support him. And they seem to agree with the slanderous things being said about him. And as soon as the word gets out that he is in town, there is such a crowd congregating that he can't even find space to sit down and eat. And amid all the crowds, there are now some very hostile voices. There was a reason it had gotten to this place. From the very first moment in his ministry, Jesus had instilled fear in the religious and political authorities, which were pretty hard to tell apart, actually. Jesus reached out with hands of mercy and blessing to those without power or authority or voice. And this made him a marked man from the very first day in that synagogue in Capernaum. Crowds were immediately flocking to him, the poor, the sick, the unclean, the unemployed. He shares meals with and seems to simply enjoy the company of the sort of people who will cause you to lose whatever good reputation you might otherwise have had. He seems to cheerfully disregard the religious disciplines of fasting, saying that his ministry is one of feasting and celebration. And all this time, the crowds continue to grow, and three times in Mark's first three chapters, he violates Sabbath prohibitions for the sake of mercy, once to exorcise a demon, once because of the hunger of his disciples as they walked through a grain field, and once to heal a man with a withered hand. And it's this last one that is the last straw. And the authorities begin to plot his death. This is at the beginning of chapter 3. So things are getting very dicey, very, very fast. And this is where things are at when Jesus goes home and the crowds begin to descend. His family goes out, it says, to restrain him. They are very upset. They've had enough of whatever it is that he is doing. They seem to be part of the voices who think he is coloring so far outside the lines that he must be crazy. And understandably, they are probably worried about their safety, about his safety as well as their own. And then the government investigators arrive from Jerusalem. They try a smear campaign, demonizing him, literally, saying he does what he does under the power of the devil, which is a bit like a politician in Washington, D.C., calling their political opponent an Al-Qaeda sympathizer. Jesus' response is really interesting. He engages in this little verbal jousting, saying, "It makes no sense that Satan could cast out Satan." And then he offers a much more scandalous metaphor for his own ministry. A criminal break-in. He says this: "No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered." Jesus is proclaiming, finally, that he is the stronger one of which John the Baptist first spoke, proclaiming and enacting the kingdom of God come near, and so binding up, tying up the strong man of political and religious oppression. This was the Jubilee hope of Jewish faith coming to birth at last. It's not until Good Friday and Easter that we will see what shape all of this will finally take, but we see it here beginning to unfold. This to me is a really fascinating and complicated passage, and one that merits a lot of thinking about. One of you three who were confirmed last week, perhaps you will become a biblical scholar, maybe all three of you, and you can tell me more about this passage someday. There is so much in it, so much metaphor and accusation, so much emotion. But there's a really important and kind of shocking thing at the heart of it. And that is that the salvation that Jesus brings calls into question our relations to our families and to the wider culture. For the interest of time, let's look at family. Jesus' family wanted to stop him. Then when they finally get to him, at the end of the passage, they're standing on the outside of the house. They call out to him, and Jesus refuses to see them. And then he calls into question everything we know about family, or think we know about family, by saying that true family is the fellowship of those who follow the will of God. That is quite a thing to consider. The gospel is always, it seems, trying to break us into a wider sense of communion, of community. If our concern extends only so far as our blood relations, then we haven't yet had our sense of kinship reshaped by the gospel. A professor of mine put it like this: if you build a wall between yourself and another person, Jesus is always on the other side of that wall. We will all go home, like Jesus did that day. Whatever that looks like and means for each of us. And we might well find it some pretty complicated terrain. Moms and dads, siblings, expectations, shared history. Does it give you any strength to weather what storms may come, knowing that Jesus had tension with his family too? What will it mean to have our sense of kinship opened up and expanded by the gospel? What tensions might that bring? There's an old saying that blood is thicker than water. Blood relations trump it all, I think, is what that means. What would it look like for that to be turned upside down? What would it look like in our lives for water, the common creation nourishing water of baptism, to be thicker than blood? Jesus' final words in this passage are such a mighty reorientation of priorities and allegiances, and not without sadness. His mom and his brothers are standing outside. Imagine this scene. They're calling for him. And Jesus says to those who are around him inside, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." It's a painful scene to imagine. If you imagine it from the perspective of his mom and his brothers and sisters. But I think the point is this. The kingdom of God, Jesus came proclaiming and enacting the jubilee and liberation, this healing, this new family and fellowship, this salvation is something we come into not by pedigree or birthright or tax bracket, but by the radical conversion of the heart, by dying and rising with Christ. This is the law, and it is the promise. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Amen.
For the church that it boldly stand against evil and oppression, even as it promotes reconciliation among nations, races, and religions, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For all who work in commerce, government, or politics, that their work benefit those in need and the rights of all, We pray especially for the people of Syria. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the land that rains and showers water the earth, we give the waters of Railroad Creek and Lake Chelan and all waters that give life to the plant and animal communities of this valley. Make us wise and faithful stewards of the fresh water resources on which so much of our life depends, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For all who are sick, anxious, lonely, or grieving, especially those we name before you now, either silently or aloud. That they not lose heart, but hold fast to your promises, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For the mine remediation workers who will be working in this valley this summer, for the guests, staff, and wider Holden community who make this ministry possible, sustain us by your spirit and unite us in the kinship found in you, Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We give thanks for all the faithful departed whose lives enrich the family of faith and who now dwell with you in glory, Lord, in your mercy.
Receive our hopes and prayers, O God of mercy, for great is your faithfulness in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of that peace. Thank you. sing song number 184. Please stand.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, we have been blessed with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, and the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me."
Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered in the Spirit, we are bold to pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God come now, for all is ready.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and with mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Remember the poor.
Thanks.